Angels.
Tell me why you wish to see me. I am the person you inquired for. The kind tone of this answer, the sweet voice, the gentle manner, the absence of any accent of haughtiness or displeasure, took the girl completely by surprise, and she burst into tears.
"Oh, lady, lady,"
she said, clasping her hands passionately before her face.
"If there was more like you, there would be fewer like me. There would, there would."
"Sit down," said Rose earnestly. "If you are in poverty or affliction, I shall be truly glad to relieve you if I can. I shall indeed. Sit down."
"Let me stand, lady," said the girl, still weeping. "And do not speak to me so kindly till you know me better. It is growing late. Is that door shut?"
"Yes," said Rose, recoiling a few steps, as if to be nearer assistance in case she should require it. "Why?"
"Because," said the girl, "I am about to put my life and the lives of others in your hands. I am the girl that dragged little Oliver back to old Fagin's on the night he went out from the house in Pentonville."
"You?" said Rose Maylie.
"I, lady," replied the girl. "I am the infamous creature you have heard of that lives among the thieves."
"What dreadful things are these?" said Rose, involuntarily falling from her strange companion.
"Thank heaven upon your knees, dear lady," cried the girl, "that you had friends to care for and keep you in your childhood, and that you were never in the midst of cold and hunger, and riot, and drunkenness, and something worse than all, as I have been from my cradle. I may use the word, for the alley and the gutter were mine, as they will be my deathbed."
"I pity you," said Rose in a broken voice. "It wrings my heart to hear you."
"I wish to go back," said the girl. "I must go back, because how can I tell such things to an innocent lady like you? Because among the men I have told you of, there is one, the most desperate among them all, that I can't leave. No, not even to be saved from the life I am leading now.